is here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, everybody. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. Let me show you how unserious most of the media are in this country. I've been sitting here watching. Most of them started with this little dust-up with Donald Trump and Ben Carson and Donald Trump and Carly Fiorina. And it's of no consequence whatsoever. Zero. Zero. At the same time, the United States Senate, refused to even take a vote on the nuclear deal, such as it is. And so now it's gone through. And the House of Representatives, I want to salute them, is still going to vote on three resolutions. Resolution offered by Congressman Peter Roskam, as I mentioned yesterday, saying that the terms of the Corker-Cardin Agreement were not met. They'll vote on a resolution that will keep the sanctions in place, and they'll offer a resolution of approval for Obama's deal and then vote it down to get these members on record. But so gutless are the Democrats in the Senate. So gutless that they refuse to shut down debate. They refuse to have a vote on the substance, that is, on this so-called deal, because they don't want their names attached to it. This is amazing. But I don't blame them, because we know what the Democrat Party is. The Democrat Party is the party of the enemy. They were soft on communism, they were soft on fascism, and they're soft on Islamo-Nazism. They're soft on law and order, and they're soft on border security. So we know who they are and what they are with their totalitarian mindset. They despise America, and they look at envy at dictatorships and regimes all over the world that repudiate republicanism. Small r. But what I find most reprehensible and unconscionable is the fool who runs the United States Senate, is the fool who is the Republican leader of the Senate, who brought this vote up today, Thursday, as fast as he could, in order to be done with this issue and move on to increasing the debt ceiling. And as I mentioned yesterday, and I've been thinking about this throughout the day, there is no doubt in my mind that Mitch McConnell cut a deal with Barack Obama behind the scenes to make sure this would get done this way. That Mitch McConnell cut a deal with Barack Obama to get this so-called Corker deal in place, you know, reversing the numbers on the treaty provision, writing it right out of the Constitution, and as I said at the time, positioning themselves while making sure Obama would get what he wants. Their objectives are not our objectives, ladies and gentlemen. They're about process. They're about moving on to the next issue. They're about delivering for special interests and lobbyists. They're not about national security. They're not about capitalism. They're not about the Constitution. Never, ever. It is time for a new Republican Party. We need to fumigate this Republican Party. And they moved along. And McConnell did this as quickly as he could because he could see the uprising going on in the House of Representatives, where the members said, no, we're not going to do this. No, we're not going to go along. Obama's lawless. And McConnell moved at breakneck speed, which he never does. At breakneck speed. Mitch McConnell is every bit as responsible for arming the terrorist regime in Tehran with nuclear warheads is Barack Obama. Bob Corker, every bit is responsible. And every so-called Republican leader and committee chairman who went along with this, Lindsey Graham, McCain, they are responsible for this. Because this certainly didn't have to happen. I know people are pounding their chests and patting themselves on the back. I was the first to say, oh, and I said they're pretenders. And oh, shut up, would you please? You weren't the first to say anything. It was obvious from day one. When they surrendered Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2 of the Constitution. The treaty provision. And we spent days on this, did we not? We went into the history of the treaty provision. I explained how the numbers would be turned on their head. I explained how this was all for show. I explained that they think that we're stupid. March 9, 2015. How many months ago is that? March, April, May, June, July, August. 6 months ago. 6 months ago. Cut 14, go. Here's what I'm told on the lowdown. I'm told Obama might, he's still thinking about it, try and get this through the UN Security Council, given that he's pulled Germany and France and Britain into the process. Now, Germany is not on the Security Council, given its bad behavior in the past, but France and Britain are, Russia is, and China. And they would love nothing more, China and Russia, to see the United States sell out to the Islamo-Nazi regime in Iran, which they're helping. And, of course, the heads of France and Britain are toadies to Obama. Sure, Barry, whatever you want. Just tell us. Suck les bleus. But anyway, so he may try and push it through that way, make it a Security Council agreement or imposition, to try and pretend that he's giving it some kind of official imprimatur, when in fact he's not. He can't go around the Senate. This is a treaty. A treaty. And of course the Senate has a role. But Obama doesn't think so, because Obama is a lightweight dictator. And that's where his head is, among other places.
But little did we know at the time that about a month later, McConnell and Corker and Lindsey Graham and the others would grease the skids for a deal. Obama said, I'm not treating this as a treaty. And McConnell said, uh-oh, well, then we have to find a way out of this. And they come up with a phony deal, the way they came up with a phony deal on the Export-Import Bank, the way they came up with a phony deal on the debt ceiling, the way they came up with a phony deal on immigration, the way they came up with a phony deal last summer on spending. One after another, after another, after another. This is why Obama doesn't veto bills. They either don't come to his desk or he signs them. April 6, 2015. Cut 15. Go.
What should the Senate do? Well, then I thought about this provision again. Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2. The President shall have power by and with the advice and consent of the Senate to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. Notice it doesn't even say that the President has to submit the treaty to Congress. Or the Senate in particular. The Senate shall give its advice and consent to make treaties, provided two-thirds of the senators present concur. What if Obama then submits that document? Doesn't call it a treaty, executive arrangement, executive deal, you know, what he can call a kumquat, whatever you want, Clementine, and he submits it to the UN. Well, I'll tell you what the Senate should do. You ready? The Senate should vote on it. The Senate should say, as I've read to you now three times under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, we have an independent power spelled out in the United States Constitution. We get to provide our input on this document. No matter what the President calls it, we call it a treaty. We, the United States Senate, characterize this deal as a treaty. He can characterize it any way he wants. He's one part of the government. We're another part of the government, and we have a role in this process, and he can't seize it from us just by calling a cucumber a potato or a potato an orange. He can't seize it from us by bypassing us and giving it to Russia and China to give its opinion. So we're going to vote on this. It's a treaty.
I'm back live. Little did we know at the time, even though I had this UN thing pegged, little did we know at the time that while this was going on, while I was speaking, the Republican leadership was working behind the scenes with Barack Obama and the Democrats to get around the treaty provision, to come up with some kind of phony arrangement in the Senate so they wouldn't have to use the treaty process and deny Obama his phony deal. About 3 weeks later, give or take, April 30th, it became clear what the Republicans in the Senate were up to. It became clear because of the decisions on amendments that were being voted down. That were being voted down to put teeth in this so-called Corker bill at the time. Rational, common sense amendments where they were saying no because the fix was already in. The fix was in 6 months ago with the Republican leadership. Cut 16, go. And we have eight Republicans who voted no on this amendment. Lamar Alexander of Tennessee just got reelected. Had gone back to Tennessee, promised the Tea Party groups he's a real conservative. He's a lying, no good for nothing. Dan Coats of Indiana, who has announced he's not running for re-election, so this man feels he's free to be as irresponsible as he chooses. The preposterous, pathetic, egomaniac Corker of Tennessee. Land developer, wheeler, dealer. The absolutely absurd Jeff Flake of Arizona. Lindsey Graham, who has the nerve to attack Rand Paul. He has the nerve to attack Rand Paul on foreign policy. When Lindsey Graham is helping to lead the way against this amendment, Orrin Hatch, an absolute unmitigated fraud. John McCain, who is up for re-election in Arizona, but you have an open primary system, and he is relying on non-conservatives and non-Republicans to get him the nomination the way Lindsey Graham did in South Carolina. And Senator Perdue from Georgia, I don't get it. Hopefully he'll put out a statement and explain himself. But this is amazing that you have eight Republican senators. Is this controversial, ladies and gentlemen, to require a certification that Iran has not directly supported or carried out an act of terrorism against the United States or United States person anywhere in the world? That gets eight Republicans? And it was one amendment after another like that. Voted down by unanimous Democrats and 7, 8, 9, 10 Republicans. Each one walking the plank for Mitch McConnell. Like the Gang of Eight, Mitch McConnell in the shadows orchestrating that debacle. Like the Export-Import Bank, Mitch McConnell lying through his teeth using procedures to ensure that it would pass, then voting against it. Same with immigration. Same with the debt stealing. Same with the budget. This man is not a leader. I have called him and Boehner in the past, Benedict Arnold's. Some 25 or 15 watt light bulbs went into the minds of some of the backbenchers who've picked up on that. Mitch McConnell is Benedict Arnold. Mitch McConnell just stabbed the nation in the back. Mitch McConnell made this possible today. And he moved as quickly as possible to get this vote, to set it up for the Democrats, so there wouldn't be enough votes even to cut off debate. And so now the Democrats aren't even on record on the underlying issue. There has to be an explanation as to what they did. So the dolts out there Not you, but you know who they are, who don't pay attention. Right, what he did, what's this? This Philip, what are you talking about? And when this thing unravels, as it will down the road, when the enemy reveals itself even to the most lame and pathetic appeaser, these Democrats will pretend they had nothing to do with it, but they had everything to do with it. These Republicans will pretend they had nothing to do with it. Oh, but they had everything to do with it. Politico. Senate Democrats successfully blocked a measure meant to kill Obama's nuclear deal with Iran, dealing a decisive defeat to Republicans' attempts to derail the controversial agreement and ensuring its survival. These idiots of Politico don't even realize what took place. This is a phony vote. The fix was in. The moment the treaty provision of the Constitution was surrendered, the fix was in. The moment these amendments were denied, even on the phony Corker bill that would have tightened up that bill, it was obvious the fix was in. The role the UN would play and that Obama would use. My God, I brought it up 6 months ago. And yet, we're going to lead off with Donald Trump talking about Carly Fiorina's face. Really? I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Obama released a statement immediately after the vote in the United States Senate, almost as if they're playing on cue here. Today, the Senate took an historic step forward and voted to enable the United States to work with our international partners to enable the implementation of the comprehensive long-term deal that will prevent Iran from attaining a nuclear weapon. This vote is a victory for diplomacy, for American national security, and for the safety and security of the world. And then he rambles on. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. They're fighting on in the House, and they should fight on in the House. They should fight on principle. But Mitch McConnell undermined the House. He undermined the Constitution. He undermined national security, and he undermined the American people.
Mark doesn't suffer fools well. So, if you're a fool, don't call 877-381-3811.
Well, I want to congratulate Chris Christie, which I rarely do. He's going on about term limits for members of Congress. He's going on about addressing entitlements. I wonder if he read Plunder and Deceit and the Liberty Amendments. He's never talked like this before. And, of course, his handling of his own state has been a relative disaster, in my humble opinion. I see that the corporatists are putting up a candidate against Scott Garrett in a district in New Jersey, telling the nation this. I want to offer my support fully for Scott Garrett. If he needs any support from me, I'm happy to provide it. I'd even go into that district and campaign for him if it'll help. But here we begin the Boehner-McConnell Chamber of Commerce effort to destroy what's left of the conservatives in the Republican Party. Folks, the Republican Party demonstrated today that it's worthless. Mitch McConnell is a pathological liar. He lied to get reelected. And so did other Republicans. They lied to take over Congress. Mitch McConnell campaigned day in and day out. You can attest to this, Kentucky, that if we give him a Republican senator, he's the majority leader, he will stop Obamacare. We have played that ad many times. If we give him a Republican Senate and reelect him and he becomes the majority leader, Obama won't get away with his amnesty by fiat. And yet he funds it.
And he thinks you're stupid in Kentucky. He thinks you're stupid, America. He cuts a deal behind the scenes. It's more obvious to me than ever. Half a year ago with Barack Obama to give him whatever he wants to get his Iran deal. And we didn't even have an Iran deal at the time. And today he undermines the conservatives in the House of Representatives who are engaged, who are taking on the President of the United States for selling out this nation to the enemy. And he moves for a quick vote. He coordinates with Harry Reid and the Democrats. He coordinates with the White House. Meanwhile, the Republicans are on the Senate floor lobbing verbal grenades. Oh, they're betrayed by the Democrats, don't you know? Oh, this wasn't the way it was supposed to be, don't you know? Oh, the Democrats vote in lobstick, don't you know? Of course, we knew all of this. Oh, look at that. They have 41, 42 votes. They needed 67 out of 100. And they would never get it. They would never get it. But for the fact that Bob Corker of Tennessee, John Cornyn of Texas, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, most of them from the South, for God's sakes, surrendered the nation to this ludicrous, ideological president, as close to a madman as we've ever had when it comes to policy. When it comes to policy, absolutely incredible. You should be so furious right now. Oh, and meanwhile, on TV, it's all about, oh, did you hear what Trump said about Carly Fiorina's face? We don't care. We just gave nukes to the enemy. Is this some kind of a joke? Mad Magazine? Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Oh, Mark, why do you raise your voice? Mark, why are you so... come on. Just incredible.
I don't know. I don't know, is Ben Carson fit to be president? I mean, he's never served in public office. I don't know. And Ted Cruz, oh, such a backbencher. Is he fit to really be president? And Donald Trump, you know, he calls people, is he fit to be president? No, Barack Obama's fit to be president.
Anybody named Bush is fit to be president, no matter what. Bush. And, of course, McConnell, there's a genius. McConnell is so over his head. He's such a fool. He's such a fool.
We don't have the votes.
You have the Senate, lame brain. Wow, we don't have the presidency. Well, you don't have the presidency. You don't have the court. What the hell do you need? And what did they do when they had the presidency in Congress? They spent like drunken liberals. They pushed for a comprehensive immigration reform. You remember? Hundreds of billions of dollars. Oh, yes. Hundreds of billions of dollars in stimulus spending with Republicans. Massive redistribution of wealth to Wall Street. This is why they hate us, folks, because the Tea Party movement, conservatives rose up against the last days of Bush, the last days of Congress, and rose up against the election of Obama. But it was a rejection of the Republican establishment. The Republican establishment abuses its voters. It abuses its constituent groups. It abuses the base. And they're just too damn stupid on TV and too damn stupid inside the Beltway to get it. That we despise them because they're liars and they're narcissists. And they're power hungry. And then they leave government after staying there for 3 or 4 decades and they line their damn pockets with lobbyist money. And we're fed up with it. And in this case, not even putting up a fight to stop the nuking up of a sworn enemy that seeks to blow us off the face of the earth a sworn enemy that said yesterday that Israel will not survive 25 years from now. Now, let me tell you, we're going to wind up going to war with this enemy. Barack Obama will be long gone. He'll be on his fifth autobiography. He'll be worth $300-400 million. There'll be a push to name a day, a national holiday after his birthday. You wait and see. In the meantime, because the Islamo-Nazis in Tehran will lie, because that's what they do. They lie. They cheat. They murder. They torture. They rape. That's what they do. They play by no rules. You watch as some of you send your children and your grandchildren to war, because they're going to nuke up now. They're going to have over $100 billion to do it. They're going to be armed by the Russians and the Chinese. All bets are off now. They're going to get all kind of technologies. And they are very serious. They're very serious. And our political leaders are not. And I want Mitch McConnell to know something. You will have blood on the hands for the rest of your life, and so will the Republican Party. You have taken a once great party that stood on principle, that stood against slavery, that stood against segregation, that stood against the Nazis and the fascists, that stood against the communists, led by great men, Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, Everett Dirksen, led by great men. And you, Mr. McConnell, you're a quisling. You're a little man. You're a know-nothing. And this is on your head. You could have stopped this simply by following the Constitution. You claim to support the Constitution. You don't support it any more than Barack Obama. You put your hand on a Bible, your left hand, your right hand in the air, and you swore to uphold the Constitution, and you violated the Constitution. You're no better than him. As a matter of fact, you're worse than him. We know what he is. And you pretend to be something that you're not. The wrath of the nation should fall on your head, Mr. McConnell, and all the fools, all the lemmings who follow you over the cliff in the Republican Party in the Senate. In all my years of watching government, since I was 13 years old, taking a train from Philadelphia to Washington to sit in the Senate gallery, where I would sit back then for 5, 6, 7 hours at a time, observing real men. Real men. Stand on principle. Instead, we have this. A pathetic joke. A terrible joke. And these fools will be all over TV this evening. They'll be all over TV tomorrow and over the weekend, lamenting Barack Obama, lamenting what the Senate Democrats did, lamenting how dangerous this all is, when they created the circumstances for this. They have a majority. A majority in the Senate means everything. All they had to do was say this is a treaty in every respect. We're going to treat it as a treaty. I said it 6 months ago. Obama can treat it as a cucumber. He can do whatever he wants. We are going to treat it as a treaty. And you need 67 out of 100 votes, or two-thirds of the senators present, to get it ratified. McConnell didn't want to do that. McConnell didn't want to stand up. It takes courage to stand up to Obama, to be attacked and vilified and so forth. But this man of very few brains, very inarticulate, this is a man who wouldn't even have an assistant manager's job at a McDonald's. Look how high he's gone in the Byzantine world of the United States Senate. And look how they come to his defense. Oh, Ted Cruz. Oh, no, you can't challenge McConnell. You dare not call him a liar, even though he is a pathological liar. No, no, don't call him that. And then out trots Orrin Hatch. Out trots Orrin Hatch. Isn't that amazing? To the defense of his good friend Mitch McConnell. When Orrin Hatch told me once on my own cell phone that Mitch McConnell was a hustler, oh, he would deny it today. Most of these people serving us, quote-unquote, folks, they're scoundrels. We exist to be manipulated. We exist to be managed. And if we don't accept their lies and their contrivances, then they attack us. What kind of party is this? What kind of leadership is this? This is a dead party with dead leadership. It's time for a new Republican Party. All they have to do is enforce the Constitution. All they have to do is stand up for what's rational and right, and they won't do it. In the face of a president who has as his purpose to turn this country upside down. Oh, the stars are aligned. The stars could not be further apart. The nation is in peril. The nation is more in peril today than it was yesterday. And you can thank Mitch McConnell.
Mark Levin.
Notice McConnell will not go on any show in which he might be challenged. None. He won't go on any show in which he might be challenged. The guy lives a cloistered life. The guy's pampered. He has a driver paid by you. He has protection paid by you. He has an elaborate, luxurious office in the Senate. They call him leader. Not majority leader, not Republican leader. When people bump into him, it's, hello, how are you, leader? How are you, leader? So his ego is massive. And yet he's a pygmy. An intellectual midget. A dwarf of a statesman. Today is a sad day, folks. It's a sad day for our nation. It's a sad day for your kids and grandkids. We have an enemy that has sworn to destroy us that is going to get nukes. And the central government, the federal government, if it exists for anything, it exists to prevent this. When they say it's this deal or war, no, this deal is war. Let me repeat, this deal is war because the enemy is going to nuke up. The enemy is going to nuke up and the Middle East is going to nuke up. And the only way to stop hostile regimes, terrorist regimes, from using weapons like this is to destroy them. And your children and grandchildren, some of them, if not many of them, are going to be sent off to war as a result of what Obama has done, John Kerry has done, Mitch McConnell, the Democrat Party, and many other Republicans. This is a vote that seals a fate, that sows seeds. And they want to talk about Carly Fiorina and then Ben Carson and Trump fighting. This is the joke that the media are. Hillsdale College, folks, to pursue truth, to defend liberty, to seek that which is beautiful, to understand what it means to be a good citizen of this marvelous, marvelous country called America. This is the heart of Hillsdale College. This is the Hillsdale difference. Whether it's a fine young student on the campus in Michigan or someone like you taking a free online course, Hillsdale College, since its founding in 1844, has taught individuals things really worth knowing. Whether studying chemistry or business or any other of the 31 different majors, students learn what it means to love what is good, to cultivate beauty, to elevate society. This is why Hillsdale is rated by Kiplinger's as among the best value top 20 national liberal arts colleges. It's why some 3 million of you read their free monthly speech digest in Primus. Hillsdale's liberal arts education is rich and full, developing the hearts and minds of students and helping to advance the principles of liberty. Hillsdale College, for a better America, for a better you. This is the Hillsdale difference. Now, we, the American people, we have done everything we could possibly do to address what's going on in Washington, D.C. The checks and balances are supposed to be in place. The Republican House was supposed to balance the Senate and then balance the presidency. It did not, and it has not. The Republican House, joining with the Republican Senate, having complete control over the power of the purse, the treaty power, the power of immigration, and so forth and so on, was supposed to be able to truly blunt Obama's lawlessness. But it rolls over. Obama has done enormous damage to our governmental system. He's done enormous damage to race relations in America. He's done enormous damage to our capitalist system. Enormous damage to our culture and the notion of citizenry. Enormous damage to the military. Enormous damage to local police departments. Enormous damage to NASA. Enormous damage to our school lunch program. Enormous damage to our communities with their national zoning policies. And the Republican Party will not even confront him, because they say they have to control the presidency. Is that what the Constitution says, ladies and gentlemen? Is that what the framers said? Is that what the ratifiers said? If you don't control every piece of the government, you have no power? Is that what they set up? I'll be right back.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, everybody. Mark Levin here. This is hour two. The number, 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. Josh Earnest, at the White House press briefing today, I want you to see just how he and his boss view our system of government. Because today we're not operating under our system of government. I just want you to listen to this. We've gone from the treaty provision in the Constitution of the United States, empowering the Senate to have a significant role, a primary role in that process, the abandonment of that, to the executive now stating Congress has no role in giving approval, none whatsoever. Cut to go.
Josh, on the Iran nuclear deal, if the votes on the Hill go as expected, would the president plan to start lifting sanctions on September 17th?
Well, Nancy, I believe that both Majority Leader McConnell and the Senate committee chairman who wrote the legislation codifying how Congress would consider the international agreement to prevent Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon have acknowledged, is that the 60-day clock for Congress's consideration of that agreement expires on September 17th.
Stop right there. Today's date is what, ladies and gentlemen? September 10th. They had an entire week left, and McConnell rushed this to a vote today. He rushed it to kill the conservative opposition. He rushed it to kill not just conservative opposition, but any opposition. McConnell killed it a week before the deadline to stop the House from doing what the House was going to do, rise up and try and prevent this. McConnell shot his own troops in the back.
Go ahead. And essentially, I've described previously that Congress's role here is not to provide their approval for the agreement, but they essentially had 60 days to play the spoiler.
So Congress doesn't have any role, according to this despotic president and his pathetic mouthpiece. Congress has no role. Just sitting there trying to play spoiler, but they weren't even able to do that. I'm not going to do this again, but one day I will go through the whole background of the treaty provision in the Constitution. It was so essential, the framers said, to involve the breadth and the width of the body politic of the nation. They didn't give the executive this kind of sole power. They didn't even say the Senate would have a role with a majority vote. They said the Senate would have a role. There would need to be two-thirds of the senators present to ratify a supermajority. One man does not have the power to do what Obama has done. This is why Obama has shredded the Constitution, and the Republicans have shredded it too. And the Republicans did the same thing. They shred it. And the Republicans shredded the Constitution. And this little puke, oh, look, you know, Congress's role here is not to provide their approval for the agreement. Just butt out. Butt out. Yeah, Congress has no role. None whatsoever. And 60-day clock for Congress's consideration expires on September 17th. That's it. And Congress has no role because McConnell surrendered it. And he doesn't even have the authority to surrender it. No Senate has the power to change the Constitution and its own power. Ernest Moniz, the Secretary of Energy on MSLSD today. Andrea Mitchell asks him, cut four, go.
If John Boehner and this group that is pressuring him from inside the Republican caucus, if they have their way, they're going to try to push it beyond September 17th. What happens if the United States stands alone in not having let this agreement go through? What happens to the rest of the agreement?
Well, first of all, I certainly have no expectation that we will go beyond the 17th. I have every expectation that we will be entering an implementation phase on what is called adoption day, which is 90 days after the agreement was signed. So that's in the middle of October. And Iran, by the way, will have an enormous amount of work to accomplish in that time period. So, look, I think we will be going ahead. We will be implementing the agreement.
Hey, look, we're going to implement this. Who gives a damn what Congress does? Do they have no shame, the Republicans in the United States Congress? Do they have no shame of any kind? Do they have no decency? Do they have no respect whatsoever for themselves, let alone the rest of us? Josh Earnest saying they have no role to play here. Congress's role here is not to provide their approval for the agreement. Ernest Moniz, look, that date passes. Congress is irrelevant. We're instituting this. In the past, people were impeached for less than this, but they took impeachment off the table. They took the power of the purse off the table, which you'll see again in September as I keep warning and warning and warning, and I have all summer. And then you'll have hosts say, see, I told you, everybody's copying me. Yeah, right. And then you're going to see more capitulation, more surrender, as the Republican Party moves further and further away from the American people. Marie Harf, a.k.a. Marie Barf, is a senior advisor to John F. Kerry, mashed potato face. And she's asked about the rally yesterday that took place on the West Lawn, the western side of the Capitol building.
And here's what she had to say. Cut five, go.
I think the fact that a majority of Republicans came out against the deal before it was even done says something about the partisanship here that's really
important. Whoa. It says nothing about partisanship. There are four hostages over there, you buffoon. Pretend one of them is one of your family members. So a lot of us, on principle, said no negotiations. You get us our hostages back. That's number one. Number two, why are we negotiating with a terrorist state, the worst terrorist state on the face of the earth? Number three, the goal here was to keep sanctions, make them even stronger, and to defeat this regime so the people who want to be free in Iran could rise up. It's not about partisanship, you moron. Go ahead.
Look, we're in an election year. We're all well aware of that. But if you look at the undecided members
Stop.
Of Congress...
Stop. We're in an election year. We're all well aware of that. Why, we shouldn't have elections? This line is always... what? We're election year. We're all well aware... Yeah, we're called a republic, you moron. Oh, look, what this? We're in an election year. So, of course, they're trying to appeal to the American people. Well, that's why we have elections. Look how they dismiss us. Look, we're in an election year. First of all, we got to make sure illegal aliens vote, that there's no rules in place, that our people, the libs, we can vote in 14 states at the same time. Then, oh, elections matter all the time if they win, by hook or by crook. But to get a policy, hey, look, we're in election year. What do you expect? What does that mean? Oh, you're pandering to the American people. Oh, I see, in a republic, we're pandering to the American people. Look, it's an election year. Is this some dropout from some third-rate college here, this idiot? Go ahead.
The more they study it, the more they talk to experts and scientists.
Stop. The more they study what? There's two side agreements that aren't available. How do you study those? And by the way, Colin's pal, or pal's Colin, who was on TV on Sunday, oh, they bring him out to do his he loves Obama stuff. You notice he and the others, they never get into the details of this thing, of which many are available. They never get into the details about inspections, about past violations by the Islamo-Nazis. They never get into any of this stuff, that you're not going to have snap inspections anymore, that the Russians are selling advanced missile systems to the Islamo-Nazi regime, that the Chinese are now free to sell them technology, that they're going to have $100 to $150 billion to arm up even further. Notice Powell didn't address a single one of those. Notice this moron doesn't address a single, hey, the more they study it, the more we're going to have elections. And look how partisan they are. Go ahead.
...of energy, Ernie Moniz, the more overwhelming support we get for this deal.
There is no overwhelming support for this deal. The American people oppose it, dummy. 21% is not overwhelming support. Go ahead.
The rally that's about to take place on the Capitol speaks to the level of partisanship. They're trying to score political points.
Who is they? This wasn't organized by the Republican Party. This wasn't organized, certainly, by McConnell and Boehner, who want the deal. Who is they are trying to score political points? Don't you despise these people? I despise them. Not even a question of disagreeing. All right, I'll tell you flat out. I hate these people. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I want to remind you of what Mitch McConnell said just last week on WYMT-TV in Kentucky. This was about Planned Parenthood, but it's about everything for him. Everything. Cut seven, go.
Why haven't you led the charge against Planned Parenthood?
Well, I have. We just don't have the votes to get the outcome that we'd like.
Stop right there. We just don't have the votes to get the outcome that we'd like. Well, he had the votes to get the outcome that he would have liked in this deal if he had upheld the treaty provision. We had the votes to stop this. We had the votes to stop it. They didn't have 67 out of 100 votes or two-thirds out of the senators present. They didn't have it. We won. We won. We stopped it. This is what I mean about him being a serial pathological liar. So we lose no matter what. We lose when we have the votes. We lose when we don't have the votes. The man never makes the case to the American people. If you listen to his tone, if you listen to his cadence, you can see why he is incapable of communicating with the American people. I think he has this insecurity in that regard. So he plays in the shadows. He plays in the smoke-filled rooms with the lobbyists and the K Street types and the Chamber of Crony Capitalism, behind the scenes, where he threatens fellow senators, where he twists their arms, where he raises money. But he's not very public, is he? Let me ask you something. Do you think a 25, 30, 35-year-old listening to this man? Well, first of all, you think they're going to listen to this man? Go ahead.
Again, the president has the pen to sign it. You know, if he doesn't sign it, it doesn't happen. But yeah, we've voted on that already in the Senate. We'll vote on it again. But I would remind all of your viewers, the way you make a law in this country, the Congress has to pass it and the president has to sign it. The president's made it very clear he's not going to sign any bill that includes defunding of Planned Parenthood. So
now basically the president is the Senate Majority Leader. You don't make a fight. You don't try to influence the people. You don't try to influence the people to influence their elected officials. You don't try and influence the president. This is why Obama, after 6.5 years of seeing capitulation and outright surrender, he's not affected by the democratic process. He could care less. He knows these guys have no fight. He knows they have no strategy. He knows they are incapable of communicating with the American people. And this is a problem. Obama is a demagogue. He knows how to speak. We may not like what he says, but he knows how to lie. And he lies with a flair. Meanwhile, Mitch McConnell is talking into his pants. Nobody wants to listen to this. Same with the other doofus, Boehner. And yet, because of the Byzantine processes in the United States Senate, nobody challenges, nobody can beat them. Awful. I want you to listen to this one more time, because this is the voice of a defeatist. It's the voice of a defeatist in substance and tone. This is the voice of a man who is supposed to be the leader of the United States Senate, the leader of the charge in the Republican Senate. This is the man who's supposed to be the strategist. This is the man who's supposed to be the public voice and the public face. This is the man who is undermining his own party, cutting deals in the shadows behind the scenes with this administration to ensure that everything you believe in will not come to pass. Because he doesn't believe as you do. And I want to remind you, this man started as a political appointee in the Ford administration. He was never a Reagan guy. Never. Until, of course, Reagan became president. I just want you to remember that. He's never been a quote-unquote conservative. He's been a Republican, a Republican activist, a bit player, and now he's on the national stage, where he puts a bag over his own head. This is a man who says, we will not shut down the government. We, the Republicans, will not shut down the government. In advance of a fight with a profligate president, a man who has poured trillions of dollars of debt on the heads of your kids and grandkids, he is doing Obama's arguing and propaganda for him. He's saying, if the government shut down, it's the Republicans' fault. He's such a fool. Cut 7, go.
Why haven't you led the charge against Planned Parenthood?
Well, I have. We just don't have the votes to get the outcome that we'd like. Again, the president has the pen.
Would you ever, ever, ever hear Harry Reid speak like that? Would you ever hear Nancy Pelosi speak? Is that how they speak now? They will not take no for an answer. They fight. They fight. They talk. They taught this guy. Only time he has fighted him is when it comes to defeating true Reagan conservatives in the primary processes, because they threaten his power base. Go ahead.
You know, if he doesn't sign it, it doesn't happen. But yeah, we've voted on that already in the.
So what they do, the trick is, if you've listened to this show, you've known this. We've talked about it for years. So the trick here is, they put a vote up to defund Planned Parenthood, right? And let's say it gets passed, then what? Nothing. It has no teeth. They know how to stop things. It has to be attached to an appropriation bill. It has to be attached to an authorization bill. It has to be attached to something that matters in order to implement it. But they'll never do that. You want to know why? Obama has said he'll veto it.
We can't shut down the government. Can't at all. Even if it means destroying the country and the Constitution.
Conservative fire. The Mark Levin Show. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
By the way, as all this is swirling around the nation, swirling around the world, Eleanor Holmes Norton, the delegate to the House of Representatives from the District of Columbia, is looking out for the well-being of the American people and the people of the District of Columbia. She has introduced a bill, according to the Associated Press. This is major national wire service import that would lift the NFL's antitrust exemption if the Washington Redskins do not change their name. Now, Ms. Norton may find the name Redskins offended, but where in the world does she think she gets the authority, or the federal government gets the authority, to get involved in this? And let me just say this. The most offensive name is not Redskins. The most offensive name is Democrat, as in Democratic Party. Eleanor Holmes Norton, why do you walk around as a Democrat? The party of slavery. The party of segregation. The party of the internment of Japanese Americans. The party of Jim Crow. The party of the Klan. The party of the Confederate flag. When will these Democrats rid themselves of this heritage, their party's heritage? Oh, I know, they go after the Confederate flag. They go after some Confederate generals. Oh, they're trying to cleanse the history books. I got it. But they're still Democrats. The party of lynching. Read their planks from the early 1920s. I read them to you. Yes. The party of eugenics. What? That's right. Yes. And so here we have it. But we wish we should get rid of the name Redskins, you see. Otherwise, the entire... See, they see weakness. They see the commissioners weak now. The Democrats see the Republicans are weak. The Constitution's firewalls have been breached. Now, they get to decide what words are in, what words are out. What historical figures are in, what historical figures are out. Which books get burned, which books are must-reading. This is the new Democrat Party, which isn't new at all. It's called tyranny. It's a tyrannical party. And they're obsessed with the Washington Redskins. Today it's the Redskins. Tomorrow it'll be something else. Maybe the Chicago Blackhawks. Oh, yes, it's never ending. Maybe the Atlanta Braves are next. But never the words Democratic Party. The Democratic Party, which has resulted in more harm, more death, more misery in this country. than the Washington Redskins, for sure. Yeah, well, don't count on it.
I wonder where Mitch McConnell stands on this. Don't shut down the government. Don't shut down the government. He's not the only one, by the way.
John Boehner has a weekly press briefing. Did you know that? They're so enlightening. Always before happy hour, thank goodness. And he's asked the question. Cut six, go.
Senator McConnell insists there won't be any shutdown. Can you make that guarantee? And do you agree with...
So here are the media saying, now look, don't shut down the government. Make a guarantee because we want Obama to get all the spending he can, all the, you know, all the government he can. So do you agree with McConnell? No shutting down the government. Now, the way to answer that is, wait a minute, I'm not shutting down anything. The Congress has the power of the purse. The taxing bills come out of the House. We represent the people, too. The problem is Barack Obama does not acknowledge the last election. He rejects the American people. He rejects their franchise. He's a big spending leftist. We know this. He's racked up trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Young people are going to have to pay for this. It's going to destroy our country. It's going to destroy our economy. He'll leave office. He'll make $100, $200 million. But we have to try and put this in check. The government wastes $125 billion a year. How do we know that? The government tells us every year. Now, surely there are areas that we can cut. We have $200 trillion in unfunded liabilities. Who's going to, you know, address that? That doesn't help people on Social Security or Medicare, knowing that those programs are going to fail and Obama's done nothing about them. Why would you ask me a question like that? Instead, here's what Boehner says. Go.
That you won't be able to defund Planned Parenthood because the president wouldn't sign the bill.
Listen, the goal here is not to shut down the government. The goal is to stop these horrific practices of organizations selling baby parts. So that's the goal here.
Wow, so articulate. Then here's the way you say that, Mr. Boehner, who's been a politician for 30, 35 years and in Congress for a quarter of a century. I don't understand why the President of the United States wants to force the taxpayers of this country to continue to pay for the horrific abuses of our babies. I thought this was a man who believed in children. I thought this was a man who believed in compassion. And yet, when they're selling off baby livers and baby kidneys and baby tissues and cutting heads open to see how the brain works and touching hearts to see if they work, while they're drinking their $300 bottle of wine and eating their Caesar salad, you would think the President of the United States would be concerned about this. So we call on the President of the United States. In all humanity, in all compassion, please join us. Instead of... You don't even hear it. It's like static. It's like static. I want to tell you about Blinds.com. You know what we need more of in America, among other things? Transparency. And if you can't get it from Washington, you can get it with solar shades from Blinds.com. Solar shades are the best way I know to add color and style to your windows while getting daytime privacy and a view to the outdoors. Solar shades, unlike politicians, let you see what's really going on. They come with different levels of openness. For example, 3% openness lets 3% of the light in. And they're available in countless designer looks and patterns. In fact, Blinds.com's signature line has designer-made prints that are neutral to the street that keeps your house looking great from the outside as well as the inside. Best of all, Blinds.com's prices are far lower than what you'll find in stores. And you can talk to them by phone, email, live chat, however you want. And they'll give you free videos, free color samples, and free expert advice. Blinds.com is with you every step of the way. Go to Blinds.com right now and use the promo code MARK to get an additional 10% off already low prices. That's Blinds.com, promo code MARK. You'll see easy in a whole new light with Blinds.com, promo code MARK. Let's take a call, shall we? Howard, Washington, D.C., the great WMAL. Go.
Hi, Mark. I live in D.C. I'm a doctor here. I've spoken to you once before. I was at the rally yesterday. It was such an honor to meet you.
Thank you. It gave
me such hope to sit there and hear the words from you, the great, wonderful words of truth and life. And you stood behind that Capitol building facing the beautiful American Mall there. what an honor it was that having someone like you represent millions of us, giving the truth about this horrific Iran deal. Mark, I also wanted to say something to you. You know, you constantly talk about all of us being Paul and Paulette Revere's. Many of us hang up the phone and we're scratching our heads. What does he mean? What should we do? Here's something I started about a year ago regarding giving this information to young people. Before I start seeing patients almost every day, I go on a college newspaper website all over the country, and every one of these websites are full, as you know, of very radically leftist views of America. And I do it, I write comments and I write letters to the editor. And you may say, oh, Howard, they won't publish you. But they do. They constantly publish me 20, 30, 40% of the time because I do it respectfully. I say, thank you for your fine writing and your fine ideas. America is in a civil war here, an ideologic civil war between American values and leftist values. You have leftist values. I respect them. Here are the American values. And I always end it by saying, stay on the left if you'd like. Go ahead and stay there, but at least try to be educated. Read Mark Levin's Liberty and Tyranny. Read Mark Levin's new great book, Plunder and Deceit. Here's a hyperlink for one of his shows. Listen to it for a while. And Mark, I get back constantly. Young people, you know, 2, 3, 4 each time. Thank you so much for bringing this on the campus. We never hear words like this. We never see things like that. So that's a Paul and Paulette Revere that some Beautiful. Of your activity that some of your listeners might want to think of doing because it works. I've done it for a year. I also go on the Facebook sites for college Republicans and college Democrats and do the same thing. You've got to use these social sites because that's what these kids are looking at. So thank you again for your beautiful work yesterday. You give millions of us hope. We are in a very dark period of American history. But thank God there were people like you and Ted Cruz yesterday giving such beautiful words. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, too. And thank you, Dr. Howard. And keep up the good work. And you gave everybody some wonderful ideas. You really did, and I appreciate it. There were two presidential candidates at that event yesterday, and only two. Senator Cruz and Donald Trump. And I just want you folks to know that. That's who was there. Among other people, but in terms of the presidential candidates. All right. Let us continue. Let us go to Howard in Philadelphia, the great WNTP. Go.
Now, you're being too kind, Mark. You keep bringing up McConnell. But 98 of those senators...
Do me a favor. Get off this cell phone and speak right into the mouthpiece.
Well, okay, I'll do that for you.
Yeah, because we can't hear you. Hurry, let's go. We got a country
okay,
we're talking
you're being,
to.
You're being too kind. You've been talking about Mitch McConnell when 98 of these other senators voted in May to reverse the entire process.
Oh, hell, I've talked about that till I'm blue in the face.
Look, this morning, you're the only one that took my today. Nobody else would take my call. All they want to talk about, as you know, is Carly Fiorina in her face.
And why do I care?
I listened this morning to my senator, Patrick Toomey, who came on and lamented that he couldn't get the votes to send a thing to Obama, which they knew Obama's going to veto anyway.
Exactly.
But back in May, Senator Toomey voted to take away the power of the Senate, where they didn't have to say, no, we don't want this. They're going to say, no, we're not going to vote for it.
Let me tell you something. Toomey used to run Club for Growth when he was a congressman, and he was very solid. To me, today he's a nobody. He is a Mitch McConnell flunky.
Got
what he is. I'm sorry. I'm from Pennsylvania. Yeah, I know 98 of them. We've said it over and over again. It's only one who voted no, Tom Cotton, right?
Cotton. That's exactly right.
All right. Thank you for the edification. No offense, but we've talked about this till I'm blue in the face. And I'm an olive-skinned American, so getting blue in the face is saying something. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
You know, those six cops in Baltimore, such a complete setup. No, they can get a fair trial in Baltimore. I mean, where are you going to send them? No, they can't get a fair trial in Baltimore, regardless of the outcome. The city's already paid off the family. I mean, the prosecutor's corrupt, in my humble opinion. The mayor's corrupt, in my humble opinion. It's all about politics, all about race. Even though three of the officers are black, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Sacrificial lambs to the mob. The mob in government, the mob out of government. And the judge is a joke. Sorry, I said it and I mean it. Complete joke. Judge is a joke. I mean, he couldn't even throw out the second degree murder, which everybody believes is absurd, except the hack prosecutor. No, can't do that. I really feel badly for these police officers. I really, really do. What must they be thinking? What must their families be thinking? Oh, we're in the justice system. Law and order, we're told. This is law and order. This is the rule of law. Move along. Move along. Except if you're an illegal alien. Well, what do you want us to do? Round them up? And by the way, the president, El Presidente, we got to give him a new name. The imperial president, the despotic president, Mr. Pen and Phone, whatever. He's decided that we need to have 10,000 Syrian refugees in this country next year. And more if they can figure out how to do it. That damn pen, I need more ink. Come on, come on, I'm busy. I don't have enough time here. Only another, what, 16, 15 months in office. Come on, we got a lot to sign, a lot to do. A lot of mountains to change their names. You know, a lot of EPA people to send out there to puncture dams. We got a lot to do. Come on. And don't forget the Redskins. We got to get rid of that name. Redskins, get rid of that name. Maybe Dan Snyder should change the name of the Redskins to the Democratic Party. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that would be the most offensive thing possible. Yes. Anyway, Matt, Wichita, Kansas, the great KNSS. How may I help you?
Hey, Mark. I was just calling about the conversation earlier when you were talking about Mitch McConnell and John Boehner, and you mentioned, you know, how you imagine to 25, 30, 35-year-olds, how there's no way he can connect with them. Well, I'm 30 years old, born and raised here in Wichita, Kansas, and I can't stand listening to either one of them speak because they never say anything with any substance, and they always dance around what it is they're trying to ask.
They can't connect with anybody. And, sir, I hate to do this. I'm up against the clock. Let me send you a copy of Plunder and Deceit. And I want you to call again in the next day or so, okay? I apologize to you. I haven't been watching the clock. Government debt, well, and another all-time high. And you know what that means. If you owe money to the IRS, they're going to come after you. They're not going to mess around. If you ignore the problem, you do so at your own risk. Because the IRS can seize your bank paycheck or put a lien on your home. You need to fight back. And you can't fight back by yourself. You want the guys I trust on your side, call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Here, write the number down, 800-499-6300. Optima has the power to protect you from aggressive collection actions now so the IRS can't take your assets. And when you call, ask about the tax debt forgiveness program that is saving people thousands, even tens of thousands of dollars. Now, I told you about this truck driver from California. He settled a $60,000 debt for $500. They have many five-star reviews because these guys are the best. They're experienced. They know how to do this. One quick call is all it takes to get started on resolving your tax debt. Optima Tax Relief has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau and offers a one-of-a-kind money-back guarantee. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Optima now for your free consultation. Call 800-499-6300, 800-499-6300, 800-499-6300. I really feel badly that I had to limit Matt's call because I really wanted to explore it further. But I want to encourage Matt to call back again. He's a 30-year-old. I know, they can't. I can't listen to Mitch McConnell. I can't listen to Boehner. You learn nothing from these guys. They are defeatists. They are losers.
We don't have the votes. We don't have the votes. Even when we have the votes, we don't have the votes. We had the votes if this were treated as a treaty. We would have won hands down. They're the ones who would have been 20-some-odd votes short. Oh, you know, Obama wanted this. Washington wanted this. And Washington got it. Now, don't look over your shoulder because you may be fearful of what you see. I'll be right back.
He's here. He's here. Now, broadcasting from the underground command post, deep in the bowels of a hidden bunker, somewhere under the brick and steel of a nondescript building, we've once again made contact with our leader, Mark Levin.
Hello, everybody. Mark Levin here. Our number, 877-381-3811. 877-381-3811. Well, Russia's in Syria. You know, the last time Russia attempted to get into the Middle East, Richard Nixon prevented it. Oh, yes. He nuked up our military. And he warned them to stay out and get out. Now Russia does whatever it wants. It claims parts of Antarctica. It claims mineral rights, natural resource rights. China builds phony islands in the South China Sea and claims control over the South China Sea. Threatens Japan and the Philippines, threatens Taiwan, even threatens Vietnam. No big deal. Russia has blunted any effort to give defensive weapons, anti-missile defensive weapons to the Poles and the Czech Republic and so forth. Obama is a blithering idiot everywhere he goes and in everything he does. The Chinese send 5 warships into the Bering Straits, right off of Alaska, in American waters, while Obama's in Alaska changing the names of mountains. They're laughing at this guy. They think he's great. Obama's done more damage to America than any of our enemies. And they're on the move. If you were an enemy of the United States, wouldn't you be on the move too? You see a sucker. And boy, is he a sucker. Look at this from Breitbart. Caroline May. Households headed by legal immigrants are more likely to tap into America's welfare system than their native-born counterparts. In a companion analysis to last week's CIS study looking at all immigrant welfare use, CIS is set to release a follow-up report breaking down welfare use separately for legal and illegal immigrant households. According to the report provided the Breitbart News, 49% of households headed by a legal immigrant participated in at least one welfare program in 2012, compared to 30% of native-headed households and 62% of illegal immigrant-headed households. So let's get this straight. 62% of illegal immigrant households are on welfare of one kind or another. 49% of legal immigrant households are on welfare of one form or another. 30% of American citizens are on welfare of one form or another. I just wish some of these late-night hosts, and they're late-night for a reason, I just wish some of these weekend hosts, and they're weekend for a reason, would explain themselves. As they bring on their amnesty-friendly guests and mouthpieces, as they go on and on about the great contributions that are made to our economic system, as they reject logic and reason and statistics like liberals on global warming. While there are restrictions on immigrant welfare use, the report highlights that such bars have not been particularly effective due to a wealth of exceptions. Notably, immigrants admitted to the U.S. as refugees are immediately eligible for welfare. Well, there you go. Goes back to what Milton Friedman said, the great Austrian school economist, the libertarian. You cannot have the free flow of labor, that is, open borders, and a massive welfare state. It'll destroy a nation. And for some reason, this simple fact confounds pseudo-conservative and pseudo-libertarian mouthpieces and economists. Isn't that right, Larry?
Education level plays a larger role in explaining welfare use than legal status. The most extensive use of welfare is by less educated immigrants who are in the country legally. And, of course, that's who we welcome into the country for the most part. Of households headed by legal immigrants without a high school diploma, 75% use one or more welfare programs, as do 64% of households headed by legal immigrants with only a high school education. But I have a solution to some of this. Obama says he has deigned that 10,000 Syrians are going to come into this country. And I'm thinking to myself, why come into our country? Given the fact that about 15% of the population of Mexico is in our country, Mexico has more room for refugees. And Mexico has been in our courts, and Mexico has been involved in our politics, saying what? Support comprehensive immigration reform. Support a weak border. Legalize that which is illegal. So I say to Mexico, you take the 10,000 Syrian refugees. You take the 10,000 Syrian refugees. Since we have 20 million of your people in this country, you take the 10,000. Well, maybe not 20 million, but millions. What's wrong with my proposal, Mr. Producer? It's the humane thing to do. I've solved everything. Right? Under the circumstances. So we would suggest that 10,000 Syrian refugees be accepted by the country of Mexico, given how many, well, immigrants or refugees that we are accepting from the country of Mexico. That's my suggestion. We have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people newly in this country over the 10 years from every corner of the world. It's just a, and people celebrate that, wow, look at this. Magnificent country, diversity. The goal of America isn't diversity. The goal of America is to survive, to improve itself, in my opinion. No, that doesn't mean you end immigration. That means you manage it, you control it. And immigration has to be done in a certain way where we actually know who's coming, what their backgrounds are, whether they're going to be a drag on society or not. See, it's just assumed now by these knuckleheads that everybody who comes here is a contributor. Now, regardless of the stats, regardless of how many times people demonstrate otherwise, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The same Mitch McConnell and John Boehner and Karl Rove and all the other losers, those same people who surrendered to Obama across the board, attack conservatives across the board. They want to throw the country away on this kind of immigration. They don't want to cut government. They don't want to address entitlements. Things, by the way, the circumstances don't get better just because you speak Spanish, Mr. Bush. Oh, look at that. He's bilingual. Well, why does that matter? He's still a moderate Democrat, whether he's bilingual, whether he speaks in 20 languages. What's the point? And then he says, as I said the other day, look, my plan is this. You came into this country illegally. You want to be legalized. You have to do certain things. And they're not easy, he says. First thing he said, you have to speak English. And then he habla inglés. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. And then he's talking Spanish. And then he's praying. Look at that. He's bilingual. What's wrong with that? You ought to know more than one language. That's not the point. He's speaking Spanish to people who only speak Spanish. That's the point. And he's pandering to people. It's not about speaking more than one language. It's like the companies. Press one for English, two for Spanish. Are they doing that because they're glad people can speak Spanish or two languages? No! They're doing it for self-promotion purposes. Now, these numbers are important. They'll be ignored by the amnesty crowd in both parties. They'll be ignored by the pretend think tanks in both parties. But these numbers are telling. They tell you everything you need to know. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
A congressman on at the bottom of the hour. Not just any congressman, but Mark Meadows, who's leading the effort to oust John Boehner. And believe it or not, whether it works or not, it could work. It could work. And he'll explain it. We've had him on before when he first announced this about 6 weeks ago. It's very important. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Daily Beast, which is typically a liberal site, has a couple of writers there that are pretty solid, for the most part. They have an exclusive today. 50 spies say ISIS intelligence was cooked by this administration. It's being called a revolt by intelligence pros who are paid to give their honest assessment of the ISIS war, but are instead seeing the reports turned into happy talk. More than 50 intelligence and analysts working out of the U.S. Military Central Command have formally complained that their reports on ISIS and al-Qaeda's branch in Syria were being inappropriately altered by senior officials. The Daily Beast has learned that, you know, this is very, very serious. The complaints spurred the Pentagon's Inspector General to open an investigation into the alleged manipulation of intelligence. It's like Obama manipulating Obamacare information, Obama manipulating intelligence information. The fact that so many people complained suggests there are deep-rooted systemic problems in how the U.S. military command charged with the war against the self-proclaimed Islamic State assesses intelligence. The cancer was within the senior level of the intelligence command, one defense official said. Two senior analysts at CENTCOM signed a written complaint sent to the Defense Department Inspector General in July, alleging the reports, some of which were briefed to President Obama, portrayed the terror groups as weaker than the analysts believe they are. The reports were changed by CENTCOM higher-ups to adhere to the administration's public line that the U.S. is winning the battle against ISIS and al-Nusra, al-Qaeda's branch in Syria, the analysts claim. This is incredible to me. This is incredible to me. CENTCOM senior command, obviously at the direction of the White House, probably that Valerie Jarrett, changing the intelligence information. Now that complaint was supported by 50 other analysts, some of whom have complained about politicizing of intelligence reports for months. That's according to 11 individuals, 11, who are knowledgeable about the details of the report and who spoke to the Daily Beast on condition of anonymity. 11! The accusations suggest a large number of people tracking the inner workings of the terror groups think their reports are being manipulated to fit a public narrative. The allegations echo charges that political appointees and senior officials cherry-picked intelligence about Iraq's supposed weapons program in 2002 and 2003. So now, what do you imagine is going to happen with the Iran deal? Unbelievable. The two signatories to the complaint were described as the ones formally lodging it. The additional analysts are willing and able to back up the substance of the allegations with concrete examples. Some of those CENTCOM analysts describe the sizable cadre of protesting analysts as a revolt by intelligence professionals who are paid to give their honest assessment based on facts, not to be influenced by national-level policy. Now, these analysts have accused senior-level leaders, including the director of intelligence and his deputy in CENTCOM, of changing their analyses to be more in line with the Obama administration's public contention that the fight against ISIS and al-Qaeda is making progress. The analysts take a more pessimistic view about how military efforts to destroy the groups are growing. The large number of analysts who complained to the Pentagon Inspector General hasn't been previously reported. Some of them are assigned to work at CENTCOM, the U.S. military's command for the Middle East and Central Asia, but are officially employed by the Defense Intelligence Agency.
The complaints allege that in some cases, key elements of intelligence reports were removed, resulting in a document that did not accurately capture the analyst's conclusions, sources familiar with the protest said. But the complaint also goes beyond alleging altering of reports and accuses some senior leaders at CENTCOM of creating an unprofessional work environment. One person who knows the contents of the written complaint sent to the inspector general said it used the word Stalinist to describe the tone set by officials overseeing CENTCOM's analysis. See, what Obama has done is he's put his play soldiers in senior positions. He's put his play soldiers in senior positions to abuse real soldiers and real intelligence agents. And by the way, this is what the communists do. Many described a climate in which the analysts felt they could not give a candid assessment of the situation in Iraq and Syria. Some felt it was a product of commanders protecting their career advancement by putting the best spin on the war. Some reports crafted by the analysts that were too negative in their assessment of the war were sent back down the chain of command or not shared up the chain, several analysts said. Still others, feeling the climate around them, self-censored their reports, so affirmed already held beliefs. Two of the officials who spoke to the Daily Beast said the analysts began airing their complaints in October in an effort to address the issue internally and only went to the inspector general when that effort failed. Some of those who complained were urged to retire. One official familiar with the report told the Daily Beast some agreed to leave. In recent months, members of the Obama administration have sought to paint the fight against ISIS in rosy hues, despite the terror army seizure of major cities like Mosul and Fallujah. ISIS is losing, John Allen, the retired Marine general charged with coordinating the ISIS campaign in July. I'm confident that over time we will beat, we will win, indeed degrade, and ultimately destroy ISIL, Secretary of State John Kerry said in March, using the government's preferred acronym for the group. No, I don't think we're losing, Obama said in May. Yet a growing group of intelligence analysts persisted with their complaints. For some who have served at CENTCOM for more than a decade, scars remain from the run-up to the 2003 war in Iraq, when poorly written intel reports suggesting Iraq had weapons of mass destruction formed the basis, when it didn't, according to this report, formed the basis of George W. Bush administration's case for war. Let me see what else they have here. Well, that's all I have. Of course, they had to get in that shot against George W. Bush in the next to last sentence. It says nothing to do with George W. Bush. They're being ordered to lie about the intelligence. They're being ordered to pretend that we're having an effect militarily on ISIS and Al-Qaeda when, in fact, they're getting bigger and stronger. And so I would ask you, the American people, how do you think the Obama administration is going to report Iran's conduct with respect to this phony, fraudulent deal? They're going to lie about it. So the Iranians are going to lie about what they're doing, and the American administration is going to lie about what the Iranians are doing. And that's when we have a real president, when we have a real president, and a real Secretary of Defense, and a real Secretary of State, and a real director of the CIA, and a real director of the NSC. In other words, when we have a real administration that cares about America's national security, that's when the truth will come out. And at some point, that's when the war will have to take place. Because Obama has lit the fuse. I will be right back.
Voice of sanity in an insane world. The Mark Levin Show. Call in now at 877-381-3811.
China's economy's gone to hell, which means its military's more aggressive. The ruble's worth crap, which means Russia's more aggressive.
You see what's happening to our budget. We're going to increase the debt ceiling because that's what McConnell and Boehner do best. They're tax collectors and worse for Barack Obama. So you have to protect yourselves. You can't control governments. You have to protect yourselves. You work hard. You acquire certain things. You have some modest assets. In these scary times, Goldline is a smart choice for your portfolio. Please call Goldline today. Get some information. They're not going to give you the strong arm tactics. The number is 1-877-365-COIN. Read Goldline's important risk information to see if buying precious metals is right for you. And if you think you can't afford gold, ask them about their accumulation special, where you can start for as little as $100 a month. That's it. Call today, 1-877-365. They're there waiting for you right now. The government might be shut down, but Goldline is open. And don't forget, for a limited time and exclusively for you, just for calling in, Goldline will give you a Thomas Jefferson $1 presidential coin absolutely free, along with the free investor kit. So call Goldline right now, 1-877-365-2646. 1-877-365-COIN, 1-877-365-COIN. Mark, do you own gold? You bet I do. I also own guns. You know, I own all kinds of stuff, but you bet I own gold. 1-877-365-COIN. You know, I'm very proud of Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, a Republican, because he's trying to do something for the good of the country that takes an enormous amount of guts. And yet he's persona non grata. He's treated, you know, like a pariah up there on Capitol Hill by the rhinos because of what he's trying to do. We've had him on this program before. I have him on right now because I want to underscore this. How are you doing, Congressman?
Well, I'm hanging in there. Thank you, Mark. It's great to be back with you, and thanks so much for your support.
Now, remind the American people what you're doing and whether or not you think this has a chance of succeeding.
Well, we put in a motion to vacate the chair at the end of July, really trying to change the debate, trying to make sure that instead of consistently losing on Capitol Hill to the liberal agenda, that we start to win. And with that, if we don't, then it's time to change our leadership. I think the American people demand it. So we took a bold step in July. And really, the jury is out. So, before we do this,
what does vacate the chair mean?
Well, I appreciate you asking because it's only been used one time. It's actually a privileged motion that would require a vote to replace Speaker Boehner as a speaker. If it's put in a privileged manner, it's brought up for a vote within two legislative days. And then everybody has to cast their vote like they did on January 6th. And most people are saying that the way that Capitol Hill is working for them is that it's not. And so it is a more of a procedural effect to try to change our leadership.
And what happens here is you are removing the Speaker of the House. So you're not electing a particular person. You are removing the Speaker of the House.
That's correct. And so, if we were successful with that vote, and if that vote does come up, then obviously there would be a new election, and a number of people would put their name and come forward to step into that particular position. And it's not as much about personalities, Mark, as it is. We just want our government back and make it accountable to the American people, and so that's why we've taken this stand. The momentum is starting to grow. People are calling their members of Congress, and weighing in on this issue, and so, you know, to answer the second part of your question, it really depends on what happens in September, but the voice of the American people are almost unanimous in saying that the direction of this country is not in their best interest.
This is like a vote of no confidence in Parliament. There's a vote of no confidence, so it's time for the Speaker to be removed, rather than resign, because he'll never do that. It's time for the Speaker to be removed, and we'll address his replacement as a second step.
That's correct. And Joe Cannon did it almost 105 years ago. He put it in for himself as a vote of confidence, which he won, but then he was gone some 6 months later. And so... Uh, It's really
Joe Cannon was a Speaker of the House. We have the Cannon Office Building. It's named after him. You're saying he put this in himself to demonstrate how strong he was. He won the vote, and then 6 months later he left.
Well, there was some turmoil going on at that particular time, if you look at history. And so it was kind of saying, well, look, I'm much stronger than you think. But even with that, he was gone shortly after that. And that's really where we need to be with this, is just making sure that the voice of the American people is not only heard, but that we change the process. You know, we saw over in the Senate today just a
disgrace.
It is a disgrace. I mean, a terrible deal. It threatens our national security. It threatens the national security of Israel and our ally. And yet what we've done is we saw over 40 Democrats change their tune from the original Corker-Cardin deal to now this deal, where they don't even want to debate it. It's politics at its worst, and the consequences are going to be with us for a long time.
And, of course, the Democrats violated the Corker-Cardin deal, which means all McConnell had to do is say, you know what, enough is enough. We're treating this as a treaty. You can stick your 41, 42 votes. But he didn't do that, did he?
Well, he didn't, and that's the kind of leadership that we've got to change. And obviously I'm not in the upper chamber, but most people believe that what we need to do is go nuclear on this nuclear deal, and that is just make it a simple majority, allow it to be treated as a treaty, because that's what it is, instead of turning the Constitution upside down and making a supermajority to disapprove. It's time that we go back to our foundation, the Constitution that you talk about on a regular basis,
which is a supermajority to ratify.
Exactly, and that's where we need to be with that. And yet what we've seen is that politics playing out, and the consequences of those politics really put men and women's life at risk.
Let's get back to this vacating the chair, because that's
sure.
the phrase,
yeah.
vacating
yeah.
the chair. I don't know if you're a numbers counter. Do you feel like the numbers in the House are growing? You're getting more and more conservatives and libertarians to join you?
We are, and I will say this, that if the vote were to happen today, it would take Democrats in order for the Speaker to stay in as Speaker of the House.
Stop right there. That's important. You feel you have enough Republicans where he can't get a majority to stay in there unless he gets Democrats to help him.
That's correct. It takes 218 votes to stay in, and with our conference right now, with a number of people that they've heard from their constituents back in their home districts, they've cast their last vote for the Speaker, and so, that's newsworthy. I mean, it would take more than just Republicans to allow Speaker Boehner to stay in office.
Well, it's only fair because he uses Democrats to pass the legislation, doesn't he?
Well, we've seen that time and time again, and really where a number of the conservatives are willing to work and try to find a way to move legislation, and typically the conservatives have been bypassed on a number of issues, and I think the American people have had enough of that.
Talking to Mark Meadows, Republican congressman from North Carolina, he has introduced a privilege motion. A privilege motion. Does that mean that the House Rules Committee, controlled by Pete Sessions, who is pretty much a Boehner flacky, does that mean that flack? Does that mean that they can't stop it?
Well, that is what it means. This is kind of inside baseball, a privilege resolution. You know, the one I filed actually was not privileged because we put in some resolutions to articulate what our concerns were, but
exactly.
You can change that very easily and make it privileged, which says that it would have to come to the floor within two legislative days.
Mm-hmm. Are there any tricks that Boehner and the boys can pull?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, really, probably the first vote would not be a vote on that. It would be a vote to table that particular resolution, and so essentially, a vote to table would be a vote for the current speaker. There's a number of reasons that could be given for that, but procedurally, there's a couple of things. There could be a motion to adjourn, but even with that, ultimately, that would have to come up for a vote, and everybody would have to weigh in on that.
When might this happen, do you think?
You know, there's no red lines in the sand right now, Mark. I can tell you that there are a number of issues. One is this Iran deal that was probably the most significant vote that any member is going to take in this decade. Beyond that, we've got a number of issues, the funding of those horrific procedures that we've seen played out in Planned Parenthood, a defunding of that organization, a long-term funding bill, not just kicking the can down the road, and then a long-term highway bill. All of those have to have real pay-fors, and by real pay-fors, that doesn't mean increasing taxes. And so there are three or four areas that most members are looking at very closely and wanting to make sure that their leadership listens to their voice on a regular basis.
Will you get a heads up when this vote's going to take place so I can be informed about it and tell the audience?
Well, if any member can actually offer a privileged resolution, but certainly if I'm going to offer it or any of my colleagues that I've been talking about, we will be glad to reach out to you and let you know that it's happening, because it will be important at that point for all your listeners to weigh in and say, we've had enough of the status quo, we want a change, or we don't want a change. I mean, it gets back to the American people and their voice, and making sure that their member of Congress listens to them intently.
Now, we know how unreliable some of these members are who may be telling you, yeah, Mark, we're with you, we'll go on this, but you think you have a big enough, firm enough number where Boehner doesn't have enough Republicans to hold on, he's going to need Democrats?
Without a doubt. I can tell you on that, even maybe some of the people that voted against the Speaker on January 6th might end up voting for him this time around. But even counting defections there, a number of people, and it's really because the pressure of so many people listening to your show tonight and others like them, that what they're doing is these town halls over August, they said, listen, we got to change something. And these are even coming from some of our country club Republicans, Mark. It's not just Tea Party or Libertarians or 912. I mean, a lot of people are growing weary, and that's why you're seeing so many of these presidential candidates that are what I would say non-conventional candidates doing so well. People just want results.
And by the way, Congressman, I don't know of anybody who's running on the great job that Congress is doing in the presidential races. One last question. I believe you're still a subcommittee chairman. Has your chairman, Jason Chaffetz, once again tried to take you down, or has he left you alone?
He has not, and actually, Jason, I was in a hearing today working with him on that, and he is not. Obviously, there are other forms of retribution and things that are headed my way, but Jason has not, and he's been honorable in that. I want to make sure that that's there, because it's important that we acknowledge those that are treating me with the respect that the American people deserve. Not that I deserve, but the American people deserve.
All right, Congressman, we really appreciate it, and you keep at it, and we're going to keep an eye on this, because I think this is crucially important. I wish they had some kind of process in the Senate. Mark Meadows, thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Take care. God bless.
God bless. We'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
Mr. Producer knows what songs to slip in there where I want to stop and listen, but we're not going to be able to. I've been telling you about how Square Trade Protection Plans can save you hundreds of dollars on protection for your smartphone. Well, now if you have more than one phone in your family, like I do, they're going to save you even more money with Square Trade's new Family Protection Plans. Here you go. If you have insurance through your mobile provider, you're probably paying $11 a month. So let's say you have four phones in your family. That's $44 a month on phone protection. That is a ripoff. Square Trade Family Protection Plans are $3.50 a month per phone. So if you've got four phones in your family, you can now save over $350 a month. Excuse me, $350 a year. That's $350 a year. Remember, this is new, and this great price won't last forever. So don't wait until tomorrow when you know you're going to forget. No, go right now to squaretrade.com/Levin. That's squaretrade.com/LEVIN and start saving hundreds of dollars on phone protection for your entire family. You're hearing it from me as soon as it launched. Square Trade Family Protection Plans, just $3.50 per month per phone. That's hundreds of dollars you can save your family right now at squaretrade.com/Levin. That's squaretrade.com/Levin. Got to tell you something I shouldn't tell you probably. Family members will be mad at me. There's a reason why I've been coughing today. That speech yesterday at the rally, it was very, very hot. And I was there for about 3.5 hours. I wanted to meet as many people as I could before the event began. Well, unfortunately, it took a little toll on me. And those of you who listen, you know I have heart disease. So I didn't drink enough water. I didn't take care of myself the way I'm supposed to take care of myself, despite entreaties from people. So that's why I'm coughing today. Just telling you that I'm perfectly fine, but that happened. So that's that. I thought you needed an explanation. Scott, Jefferson City, Missouri, the great KWOS. How are you, sir?
Very good. Thank you for taking my call, Mark.
Yes, sir.
It's an honor to speak with you. I wanted to address your book. I'm planning on buying it for my 22-year-old daughter, who, much to my dismay, just recently told me she's planning on voting for Bernie Sanders. When I asked her why, it was like listening to a script off of MSNBC talking about the Koch brothers and the one percenters. And, oh, my God, Mark, I almost had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you something. If I send you the book, will she read it?
She will read it. And I'm going to give her the book, and then I'm going to give her the Liberty Amendments to follow up. Not only will she know what's being done to her and her generation, but she'll have the tools to do something about it.
I'm going to send you Plunder and Deceit. You can give her the Liberty Amendments. I'm going to give her you Plunder and Deceit, signed copy to give to her. And really, if she reads it, it'll have an enormous effect on her. We're getting a tremendous amount of input and people thanking me for having an influence on their kids and the neighbors' kids and so forth. This book is exactly what the doctor ordered. So don't hang up, Scott. We'll send you a copy right now. And folks, it'll only be 40% off on Amazon for so long. It'll only be in Costco and Walmart and Target and BJ's and Books A Million and Sam's for so long. And eventually they clear them out and bring in other books that are coming out. So if you want it, you really need to get it. One other thing. There's only, last time I checked this morning, 400 copies of the first edition, collector's edition, signed copy left at premiercollectibles.com. So if you're thinking of a Christmas gift or a Hanukkah gift or a birthday gift, those 400 are going to sell out mighty fast. Go to premiercollectibles.com, Plunder and Deceit. Ladies and gentlemen, we salute our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and emergency personnel. And I will be right here tomorrow. I hope you will too. See you tomorrow, America. I'm Mark Levin.